chasing a dude out of Casa Bonita.
That's amazing.
During her set.
That's so amazing.
It was just derailed. It was just like, well, we have to watch this.
Yeah, I'd just be done. I'd be like, turn to your right.
I remember trying to go back to material afterwards, and I was like, all right, it's not
going to
be
as good as watching someone get it. Didn't you say a few things about it, though?
Yeah,
like, you riffed off it really well.
Yeah.
Okay, I was about to say, you should probably talk into the mic a little bit more, not just Adam. All right, cool. We're good.
How are we?
Yeah. No, I remember that night because we were hanging out. It was you, me, and Jacob hanging out beforehand.
Oh, you
found that cowboy hat and you kept on wearing it.
Oh, my God, yes.
Cowboy hats.
Someone yelled at us on the street, and I was like, it was for sure my hat. And then someone was like, I really like your shirt. It's you.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck it, wear my hat.
It's your shirt. I never wear that shirt anymore.
Cowboy hats are banned from the podcast.
Cowboy hats, they're banned?
They're banned from the podcast.
Is there... I mean, you like Yellow Wolf, though, that dude.
I'm wearing a Yellow Wolf shirt.
I love Yellow Wolf.
Okay, cowboy hats are not banned from the podcast.
Yeah.
Snoop will wear one every now and then, too.
But how long... Now he's on his gospel shit.
I haven't...
Yeah. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Has anybody... I haven't listened to
this.
Anybody
this morning I did.
Is it... How is it?
A lot of Charlie Wilson.
Really?
Yeah, dude. Which makes sense. It was like when he did his funk thing in like 2014, Charlie Wilson on every song.
He's been Charlie Wilson, like his second album, The Dogfather,
dude.
In like 96.
Yeah.
Underrated album, by the way.
Yeah, it's real good.
Charlie Wilson is all over that fucking album.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Charlie Wilson from the Gap Band.
You
dropped the bomb on me.
I wish I had one of those like sound effects. But yeah. All right. Should we start?
Should we start? Yeah. Let's get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the As the Rhyme Goes On podcast. My name is John Davis.
My name is Naomi Mengus. And for our 40th episode, we're at number 40 now.
Woo!
Yeah. We have two guests. We have Basil Farage.
What's up?
Who's Denver, then Chicago, then Denver comedian. And then we have Elena Ingram, who's just Denver.
Returning
comedian.
Guest.
Returning guest. Yeah. You did the one album. We banned that guy from the podcast, XXX.
He's banned.
Why?
Yeah. Because he beats women.
He beats women. We didn't know that before.
Yeah.
We didn't know he did that before we reviewed it.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah.
I heard about this.
Had we known, we would have never even reviewed his album. No. But
it's all good.
That's our big... You beat women, you get banned.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good requirement, I feel like.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
My phone goes off and it's just forever. Chris Brown. I gotta take this. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. See, breezy.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. No, and then Basil, yeah, we've never had you on. This is your first time.
First time.
All right, so for this episode, we're going to talk about Nas's Illmatic.
For the 40th, it turns 24 this month.
Yeah,
April
so 19th. Next week. Yeah.
April 19th.
Yeah, this will be out on the 12th.
Nasty Nas.
Yeah.
Illmatic.
I love that record.
Wildly recognized as... One of the greatest, if not
the greatest rap album
of all time.
Yeah. To prepare for this, I watched that Time is Illmatic documentary.
It's amazing.
Oh, shit.
It's fucking amazing.
You said something, John said something really funny when I was talking to him earlier this week at some mic. You were like, yeah, that doesn't end good.
It's very sad. Like the documentary, yeah, it's a very... when I saw it at the Ogden, not the Ogden, what's the venue down the street, the theater? It's where we saw... The Mayan. They showed the documentary and then the screen went up and he came out and he performed Illmatic.
Was he advertised to perform
it?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was, and I didn't know this. If you had a vinyl of Illmatic, he just was like, bring him up and I'll autograph him as I'm performing. And he autographed every Illmatic vinyl.
Wow.
And then he encored with Made You Look and Hate Me Now.
That's pretty good.
But it was really fucking cool to see that. And it's an amazing album.
Yeah.
But it's very somber.
Funny.
Yes.
I'm still not over his dad.
Yeah.
I'm like, what a gamble. He was like, yeah, drop out of school. And then he's like, I'm 14. I can see it behind your eyes. You got something. And he's like, I'm fucking okay.
Yeah, my favorite part, it was even before that, when he was like, when he left the house. When him and his brother were like 10 years old, he's like, you guys are men now.
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts.
It's so crazy, man. Yeah. He I thought he was like 8 or something. And
he was super young.
Yeah. And I remember, I don't know if it's in that documentary or another where he's just like, oh, cool. I'm a man now. I don't have to wait till I'm 18. I'm a man now. Mm-hmm. And that to me just stuck with me. I was like, that's like mind boggling.
Yeah.
To have to
you know, think like that.
Yeah.
They talked about the photo on the cover of Illmatic too.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like his dad was like, "You look at that picture and you can see something behind his eyes. You can just see it." Whoa! It's like a little kid.
It's a kid.
That's funny.
Yeah. I mean, he got it right. What about his older brother? What does he do?
Jungle?
No idea.
Or no, is Jungle his younger brother?
Jungle is.
I thought it was younger
brother. Right?
That's one thing I do love on the album is like all the shouts out.
Yeah.
All the shout outs to people you just straight up don't know.
Yeah.
Like there's a few, like he talks about like Roxanne and then he talks about like Ill Will and like people, like if you know his career, you know that. Yeah. But like, yeah, there's a few where I'm like,
There's straight queen. It's like when somebody that's never met us listens to this and we're talking about comedians in the Denver scene. Like, they're like, I don't know who any of these fuckers
are. We just give shouts out to like Derek Stroop or some shit.
Shout out to Derek Stroop. Now, Illmatic is, I think the best thing about Illmatic, and it's something I harp on all the time, the album's 40 minutes.
Yes.
The album's not long.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be.
Yep. Yeah.
He didn't waste your fucking time. He's like, hey, here's 10 dope tracks. I got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of this Migos 30 freaking discography. And I like Migos, but 40 minutes. That's all you need. Blank Face, same thing, man.
Wasn't Blank Face kind of long?
Not really.
Like an hour.
Even if it like 55 minutes you check out, that's fine. These hour 10, hour 20.
I feel like it's dense, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
It's dense. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not like waiting around. Because you say 40 minutes, I'm like, I didn't even notice that. Because it feels so full.
Yep.
It is. It couldn't be longer. There's so many words.
Yes.
There's so many fucking words that, like, it would have been exhausting probably to go beyond 40 minutes for all involved. Yeah. But.
So, yeah, when I first started listening to this album, I went through this, like, I don't know what's the term. I don't want to say, like, I don't know, like sonic pilgrimage or whatever. But I started backlogging through like, you know, like old 80s, 90s, you know, just like hip hop starting from like Eric B, Rakim, fucking Big Daddy Kane, all that shit. Yeah. And then like this was like the turning point where I was like, oh, they rap like how I listen to it on the radio.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Where it's not those like, you know, which the flows are fine, but.
Well, and that's what he did. Yes.
Yeah.
He took what Rakim and Kane started.
Yeah.
With a lot of words, the complex rhymes, the, you know, the multi-syllables. And then he brought it. Okay, here's the next era.
I always felt like he kind of fused genres too. Like, I feel like at that point in hip hop, you were dealing with a couple of things. I even wrote down notes because I knew I was like, I'm not gonna
remember shit.
Yeah, like what I thought. Like when I think of hip hop at that time, it's self aware, and it's blatantly black. And it's attempting to celebrate itself, but it's also gritty and muddy. And I feel like Nas chose kind of like a middle route between those two, where he fuses the both, where he celebrate, you know, one love, right? He's celebrating blackness, but he's not denying the fact that, yo, I live in the ghetto, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
My homie got, you know, when I was 15, my homie got shot 3 times in the back. I watched him die.
Yeah.
And that fusion, like, you didn't have to be gangster rap. You could be both. And I don't think anyone else did that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's like right in between that Afrocentric, Tribe Called Quest, De La Soul, Native Tongues type thing.
Exactly.
But it's also not the Chronic. It's or right. Just slapping around.
Right.
Well, that's what it was. You're right. He wasn't Tribe, but he wasn't Tupac.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
He was somewhere in there, and he would rap about that shit, and then he would rap about that shit, because this album does have, in its own way, it's conscious on levels, but it's not like that, like the Native Tongues or even Public Enemy.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a little more local.
Yeah, there's no
it's not N.W.A. Right? Yeah.
But he's so specific too.
Yeah. Oh my god!
So specific.
He's so specific. That's like, I feel like you can pull a lot of emotion out of being really specific.
I think you're right. I wrote, that was one of the things I wrote down, was like, when I think of Nas, I think of, you guys read The Great Gatsby?
No.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Okay. So do you guys remember Nick Carraway, the guy who, he's not participating in anything. He's just recording everything that Gatsby does.
Oh, yeah.
He's more like, that's what I feel like Nas is the Nick Carraway of the hood. Wow. You know what I mean?
Title of the podcast.
And Nick Carraway of the hood. That's no, I actually have to make the album titles now.
Oh yeah.
Ever since we switched to Sex Spot, he's like, just do that.
For okay.
SEO purposes. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. You know, he's you can almost smell the piss in the city when I when you listen to Illmatic. I feel like
That is one thing that I do love about this record is like, and we do you want we can just track by track this
yeah
time.
Yeah,
because as soon as it starts with Genesis, number one, that beat is dope as fuck.
Yes,
and it's criminal that no one's rapping over it. Because I don't know if you guys have heard Illmatic.
Yes,
listen to that.
I love Illmatic.
So Elazai, he was a rapper in Slum Village. He made so he has a tape called Illmatic. It's a free mixtape you can download online. And it's like Will Sessions, the Will Sessions band, doing all live instrumentation of all of these beats. And it's all like Detroit as fuck.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful, dude.
I'll just Google it.
Yeah, I could send it to you. Yeah. Yeah, like instead of New York State of Mind, it's Detroit State of Mind. It's really fucking dope.
Oh, it's so good.
It's
good. It's tight. But before, and I'll remind this too, there's also something out there called Nostradamus. MF Doom and Nas shit together.
I still haven't heard that. You tell me about it all the
Nostradamus,
time, but I never listened to it.
I like in the intro though, the Genesis, it does have his infamous line from Main Source Live at the BBQ.
Well, they don't finish the line.
No, dude, they cut the Jesus part out?
Yeah. When I was 12, I went to hell for stuffing Jesus.
Verbal assassin.
That's my favorite part. Jesus. I didn't know that.
When I was 12, I went to hell for snuffing Jesus.
That was my favorite part about the documentary is how many, like, you had MC Search be like, yo, when I heard that line, that was the shit. Yeah. And then you had the one girl at BET, like, when the snuffing Jesus, oh my God. And then you had some random white lady, she's like, when I was 12, I went to hell for snuffing. I was like, okay, that line's dope, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's.
Moments were so funny. Like a stereotype of a documentary though, just like it just hit me like nothing. I just like shut the you can listen to this whenever you want now, okay?
But I think it was like a testament to the time, like who else talked like that? Like who talked about punching Jesus in the face before? Like
rappers didn't.
No. Right.
Like, well there were
black rappers.
Yeah, horrorcore was this other thing going on. But
even then, it didn't like really hit popularity until, I don't know, a few years after this.
Horrorcore is definitely persona-based. Nobody's like, okay, these people aren't really eating heads. But with him, it was like, all right, what does this guy really stand on everything? And MC Search, that's one of the lost things about this album. People don't know how involved
MC Search
really was because he did the third bass. He's known for all these other things. Mm-hmm. That guy loves hip-hop.
Yes.
I mean, he's a rapper, too.
Yeah. He is just like, he's still to this day, he's Serge is great.
He had a reality show on VH1.
The White Rapper Show.
Yeah. You guys remember that?
About 10 years ago. That shit was fucking, none of those guys became shit. There was a guy, John Brown, he had like the ghetto revival, and he would be like, hallelujah, holla back.
I just remember watching that as a kid, and I was like, wow. This is incredible.
It was whack. And shout out to Search. He had like cool rappers like Ill Bill and Fat Joe, but come on the show, but it was whack.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go into it. New York State of Mind.
Yep.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Well, you talk about like something that like just feels like New York, and then like this is the exact. Yes. This is like the exact song where you just like dive right into
the
that
way
shit.
That beat starts, and it's just like it's kind of like, oh, what are we in for?
It makes it feel overcast. Like I like listening to this album in the winter a lot.
Really?
So he
like seasonally dependent though. Like, yeah. It feels like winter.
He does that on purpose. Salam Remy, who a producer he's worked with later in his career, I saw an interview with Salam Remy a couple years ago, and he was like, when they were recording Stillmatic, Nas will be like, kick that beat. That he's like, it's winter. You're blowing smoke. He tailored his albums to sound like the seasons. Like Thief's Theme sounds like the summer. Mm-hmm. He's talking about being hot, but then they didn't get the response they wanted, so he had to go redo Street's Disciple as a winter album, and that's why Thief's Theme is a bonus track.
You know,
so that's really good. You notice that?
Well,
yeah.
That's why I didn't know they were doing that on purpose. Okay, cool. I'm not weird.
No, that's I didn't know that. That explains a lot. Because I was gonna say, like, I feel like I at some point in the year. There is a track that I will listen to from this album that's like, this is my favorite track from this record right now. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm kicking with right now. This is what's on rotation, and it changes, and it does change depending on the time of the year. Yeah. So that's fascinating. I didn't know that. Yeah,
I didn't even. I only have one favorite song from this album.
And what's that?
It's the next one. Life's
the
a
next
bitch.
Song.
Yeah,
that's Life's a Bitch.
Yeah,
with his dad.
Yeah. Yeah, his dad plays the trumpet at the end.
AZ.
Yeah. Yes. So we have, John and I, we have a playlist, a hypothetical playlist. The playlist doesn't exist yet. We call it the greatest songs of all time.
Yeah.
We added one last week. Right now we have Kanye West flashing lights, Kanye West power. What's the third one?
Dr. Dre 50.
Dr. Dre 50 Cent game. How we do.
Okay.
About it part three by about the Diplomats. About it, and Master P. I think this is the fifth.
We're missing T.I. What You Know.
And T.I. What You Know. I think this is a sixth.
This is a sixth. Nas, Life's a Bitch.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't think Nas kills the song as hard as does.
Yeah. Because he's fucking, God, dude, he's... That chorus.
Yeah.
That chorus is fucking unreal.
Yeah. And like the thing about that song is like if you actually like if you were to like, you know, listen to the or like read it like it's an English class, it's like the most depressing shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just like this existential like what the fuck is the point type thing. But like you listen to the instrumental and like the whole song, like I just feel like so happy. It's like a really weird contrast.
Yeah.
He's about that though, man. Yeah. That's his thing.
Yeah, his dad on the horns, it sounds it's almost got this triumphant feel to it at the end, but it's like that mentality of probably growing up in an area where you never know when you're going to go. I didn't, I grew up in Littleton. Nobody fucking talked like that. Like, but we would listen to this and be like, holy shit.
Yeah.
It's like qualified positivity.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting.
Like you can only be as positive as your environment allows you. And so he's like, life's a bitch, but at least we get to get high and no one gives a fuck. We have that solace.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah. Also, the line "the trife life is the most influential." That's like one of my favorite lines ever in rap music. That shit is so dope.
The trife life, yeah.
Life's a bitch, and then you die. God, that's why song we get is so high. Good.
I remember purposefully listening to that first song I listened to on my 20th birthday because of the line. I woke up. On the
board. Oh yeah,
day,
it's a blessing. Yeah.
I was like. Just wake up and listen to that. I'm like, why am I doing this?
I do that all the time. I do that all the fucking time. I'll do that 9/11. Always have to play the Blueprint.
December 4th. I always wake up and listen to December 4th.
On December 4th. Yeah. I always have songs like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I do that.
Yeah, I listen to Coltrane on my birthday. That's a big thing.
Really?
He has the same birthday as me. That's why.
That's interesting.
Wayne, I have the same birthday as Wayne Gretzky, so I play hockey.
You play for Avs, right?
Yeah, I play for the Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, okay, cool.
You know what? I want to say this too. It's weird with rap how terms for weed will get outdated.
Uh-huh.
Like he's talking about Puff Lye. Puff Lye, that was a term. And then like Jen and Juice had Endo.
Mm-hmm.
If you say that shit to some 22-year-old, you'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Like
Speaking of the fucking Endo line, I remember when I was in high school, mm-hmm. I said that to a teacher. I asked her what Endo was because that's when I was a sober, you know, nerdy IB kid. So
I didn't know you did IB too. Crazy.
Yeah, so I just... I was a nerd, but I remember I asked her that, and she's like, "How the fuck do you know what that word is?" And then I like explained it to her, and she's like, "You're taking too much time. You don't need it. You don't even know what this is."
I don't know what endo means. That's fucking funny. Yeah. You asked a teacher.
Yeah, I asked my Spanish teacher. Yeah, she was like,
she just started speaking Spanish and I walked away.
she's like, "Why do you still have a C in this class?"
Como se dice?
Yeah.
The next song, The World Is Yours, perfect song to follow Life's a Bitch.
Yes.
Because it's got the, you know, obviously from Scarface, which rappers have this obsession with.
Scarface.
An overly long and somewhat boring film. But it's...
Yep.
yeah, you fucking hate...
I like Scarface. It's just long.
Oh, okay. But, you just hate things that are long. All right, sweet. That's why you don't like The Godfather?
The Godfather is not just long. It is so boring. It is so boring. It is so... I think people watch it like, oh, I got to stay up. This is the greatest movie ever.
Yeah.
It's fucking...
Like they've convinced themselves that...
Don't see Goodfellas. I'd say last time, don't see Goodfellas before you see The Godfather.
Yeah.
But this song will... no, it's really cool.
I think it goes back to Alana's point of like qualified
what'd you say?
Optimism. You know, all right, I've got the realities of what living in the hood is like. Now let's bring that back, that De La Soul-esque celebratory, mm-hmm. you know, I don't give a fuck blackness.
Yeah.
And it's a nice balance.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite tracks. I like every track on this album, but that's because I'm biased. I really like Nas. Mm-hmm. And this is definitely a pump yourself up in the morning. For me anyways, like get up in the morning, listen to this track, get hyphy.
Yeah.
You know.
I wouldn't call this a hyphy song.
No, but
I
for
think
me.
Hyphy, I think, you know, E40, tell me when to go.
Ha 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 ha. Yeah, just, but spiritually,
yeah,
you know.
Okay. Yeah, this is more like spiritually, like, I have it in me to be able to do this.
Right.
Yeah.
Know? Right, right.
It's not like I'm just going to fuck shit up and whatever gets in my way. It's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's a different, more careful kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this song is great. I was about to say something.
It's got one of his most iconic lines.
Which one is that?
I'm out for dead presidents. Say what?
Yeah, man.
I went through a phase where I tried to call money dead presidents all the time. Nobody was happy.
Dude,
and then I realized that not all the people on bills are presidents.
Yeah, Benjamin Franklin's not a president.
I'm out for dead presidents slash inventors to represent me.
Doesn't flow. It doesn't flow.
It doesn't.
No, I didn't understand. That's another thing. I just straight up, until I was like, 20, I didn't understand what dead presidents were.
Really?
Yeah, it just never made. Yeah, it just never connected.
So I did. There was a movie that came out with like Lorenz Tate and Chris Tucker, a serious, a drama movie called Dead Presidents in like 94.
Uh-huh.
That's how everybody knew.
Oh, okay.
That, like, so that being alive in the mid 90s,
yeah,
it was probably the movie I think came out after this. I wonder if that's where they got the title of it, but.
Isn't there like a local? Wasn't there a local Denver hip hop band called Dead Presidents for a minute?
I mean, maybe there's not. Dead Prez.
Maybe it's Dead Prez. I'm thinking.
Yeah, they're
of.
Not Denver though.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But they, Pete Rock kills his beat.
Yeah,
Pete Rock kills his beat. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was about to say we didn't talk about the production enough, because that's one thing that's like really cool about this movie is that. Everyone talks about, like, when they talk about 90s hip-hop, like the East Coast, West Coast, but people don't forget, like, the boroughs in New York for the early part of the 90s didn't fuck with each other either.
Yep,
like,
yep,
Brooklyn, Queens, all that shit. And, like, Nas was the first one to really bring them all together.
Yeah.
Even on Hip Hop Is Dead, he has that line on the Hustler song where he's like, Nas, I was the only New York nigga rapping with Dre. Which is on his second album, but yeah.
And The Firm. Yeah, they ended up. But, yeah, they did Nas's Like.
Yeah.
But they had... the fuck else? This was one of the first albums, and I used to make this point, and then somebody else said it, and now I can't claim it. But early on, when a rapper put out an album, one guy produced the album. Mm-hmm. It was, I mean, you got in there, Public Enemy had the Bomb Squad, you know, Ice Cube.
Oh, right, yeah, you just signed a kid off the street.
Yeah, this was eclectic, but it was A&R'd so well by Search that all the beats sounded like it was cohesive. It wasn't, it didn't bounce around, and then Biggie would do it on Ready to Die.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was. Does anybody have multiple beats on this album?
I can't
remember.
Because you got Q-Tip, you
Little
got Premier,
Professor,
P-Rock,
Large Professor,
Large Professor,
Little Professor. That's hilarious.
So dumb. I just saw his face too. That's embarrassing. Whatever.
But no, the production. I mean, Pete Rock.
I think he
speaks in the chorus too with him.
Mm-hmm.
That song's fucking amazing.
Yeah, see, this is a problem whenever we do episodes about like classic albums like this. It's just like, oh, this is dope. Oh, yeah, this one's dope. There's like almost nothing to disagree with. Pretty much, yeah, I mean, like the next track, Halftime, is the shit too.
I love Halftime.
Halftime had a video. The video was dope.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to wait for this video to come on when I was... I like that. Right. And this is when the album starts to shift away from like that really like make it out type, and it starts getting more grimy,
yes,
more hip-hop,
yes,
and it's transitioning, and this song kind of makes or breaks that.
Yeah,
although it does go back to it a little
later. Yeah,
it goes
back with Memory Lane.
Yeah, but this one kind of brought us out of it kind of brought into that nasty Nas a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this is the track that I like least.
Oh, really?
But your boy Lil Professor produced it.
I know, right? Friggin' A.
Young Professor.
But I don't know why, for me, it just took me out of a flow that I got into. By the time you're in Halftime, you're in like, you've shifted the gear up, and I don't know, for whatever reason, this trips me up.
I fucking love Halftime. There's one song I don't like on this album. Like, I straight up never liked it. We'll get to it. But
this is a song you walk out on stage to.
Yeah.
The way that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it is really good. It is almost like a halftime, though, and it's like a little break. It feels like in the whole thing, because you're like pumped up in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It does change pace a little bit.
And it is right in the middle of the album. And then
it's like a cohesive, like the songs flow together really well. But I feel like it is kind of a little bit of a break.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was weird too. There was a bunch of cheerleaders dancing
every
time. I was like, what if every time you played it, it like halftime, like it's like a dog catching a frisbee? You're like, what the fuck?
Justin Timberlake shows up.
Slices.
Memory Lane, Sitting in the Park.
Yeah, I love this song.
Every East Coast album's got to have the reminiscing song.
Yeah.
They just do.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought, I was going to say I love Halftime. I thought we were talking about Memory Lane. Memory Lane is the one that I don't.
Oh.
That's really? The one that takes me out of it. Yeah. Halftime is that's the shit.
Oh, you are a fucking idiot.
Oh, yeah.
You are so dumb. This song is amazing.
Nah, man. my shit. Awesome. Halftime I love, but.
Why don't you like this?
Yeah.
It just takes me out of the flow. Like, we've reached this crescendo. Maybe that's the point, man, because we've reached this crescendo.
I love it. DJ Premier.
Yep.
DJ Premier.
Total DJ Premier chorus where you scratched in. It's, I think, Bismarck. It's either Bismarck or Slick Rick. I can't remember which one.
Yeah.
But it's one of those old storyteller rappers. And Memory Lane, you go grab the storyteller, mix that in. Preem's the best.
Yeah. Now, Preem is the shit. Now, this song is the fucking shit. Also, not to go back, but to Elmatic. That. No. That's a different one. I remember he had Royce on one of these songs.
Yeah.
Was it Memory Lane?
I think it was Life's a Bitch, wasn't it?
It was Life's a Bitch. Never mind.
Was it?
Yeah. It was definitely
Shout
Life's
out
a
to
bitch.
Royce the 5'9".
Yeah. We always have to find a way to put him into every episode. But, this song is the shit. You're a fucking crazy person.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah.
I stand by it. I like Halftime, man. I do. But
Halftime.
I did just say Little Professor, so I'm going to just go commit seppuku after the podcast.
Yeah.
Just right here.
I do think Lil Premier was really great on the production of Halftime. every producer for now is Lil whoever.
Yeah, Young Primo.
That dude.
I never heard him speak until like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Premier?
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, or at least knowingly.
He's just a nice man.
Oh, I was about to say, just his voice is so fucking deep.
Yep. Yeah, it's really deep. Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yeah,
he's huge, man.
Didn't you meet him once?
Oh yeah, I hung out with him for like 45. He's the nicest person I've ever met. DJ Premier is so nice. He's amazing. Like, I don't think he knows he's DJ Premier.
Yeah,
because he's talking to me about like Manny Pacquiao and football and shit.
I love that dude. That's so amazing.
And then when he walked away, he patted me on the back. He's like, "It was nice talking to you, brother." Oh. And I was like, "You too, DJ Premier."
That's fucking hilarious.
He's great. This next song produced by John Davis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Q-Tip. John Davis. I forgot that's his name.
Oh, Q-Tip's so name's John Davis.
I just feel like with Memory Lane, it's just a requirement to have the reminiscent song. If your cover is you as a little kid.
Fair point.
That's one thing I do love about early Nas' career, because it's like him as a little kid in front of the same neighborhood. Yeah. Second album, it's him as an adult in front of the same neighborhood. And then at one point, he's a fucking pharaoh.
The Sphinx.
Yeah. Or the Sphinx, yeah.
And then he's Nostradamus.
Yeah, and then he's Nostradamus with the hood.
Those albums came out like 8 months apart.
Yeah.
I Am and Nostradamus came out like really, really close. Uh-huh. Nostradamus kind of had some filler tracks, and it came out a week after The Chronic 2001.
Yeah.
And no one gives a shit. Nobody was fucking checking, and it was kind of weak too.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, he had like Stillmatic, which I think that album isn't as good in retrospect.
Stillmatic came out after Nostradamus.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I'm saying like he came back. He came back with that, which also this is a different podcast episode, but I also don't think Stillmatic is like as good in retrospect.
Really?
Yeah, like you listen to songs like Ether and you're like, you're just calling Jay-Z gay for 3 minutes. This doesn't hold up.
Fuck yeah.
No, but like this point's been made a million times before, but if you listen to like, you know, other diss song. We don't have to go.
We'll have it out over Stillmatic another time.
Yeah.
I fucking love Stillmatic.
I love that album too. Yeah, but it's not as good as like everyone says it is. It's like a great album, not a classic.
Like it's not Illmatic.
Yeah.
It's confusing. I complained about this before. The CD of Stillmatic is the Illmatic cover.
What do you mean?
Like, okay, when you pull... the CD itself is the Illmatic cover. So I'm like going through my book of CDs and I want to listen to Illmatic. I'll pull it out and I put it in. And it's like, fuck Jay-Z. I'm like, oh, damn.
It is so confusing. Yeah, who the fuck decided to do that?
If I ever meet him, I'm going to be like, look, man, like, I know what you were doing.
Speaking of, you mentioned seeing him live. I should have brought this up at the beginning. I saw him at Red Rocks when it was a 20-year... anniversary of this show or this
of this show.
Of this, yeah,
Alex played show. Our Red Rocks show.
Yeah, because John is 46 years old.
46 started this at 16.
No. I went to the Red Rocks show. It was Flying Lotus, Nas, and Schoolboy. Yeah. Yeah, it was really fucking good until someone shot up the parking lot. Yeah.
Oh, I heard about that.
I wanted to go with my brother so badly, and he's like, I have a bad feeling. And I'm like, you're being a pussy. Like, come on, let's go. And he's like, no, I'm not going to this concert. And I was like, ah, okay, whatever. And then there's a shooting. He's like, I'm just saying. And I'm like, what?
Who is your brother? Schoolboy Q?
I know. I was so mad, but I was like, no, nothing's going to happen. It's going to
do dude, that night.
Something weird happened at that concert.
That shit was crazy because. Yeah, well, I remember on Twitter because I didn't understand there was a shooting going on. I just saw helicopters because the show was still going. And I stayed for most of Flying Lotus because he had like a bunch of like lights and shit.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That. And I'm a big fan.
I love Flying Lotus.
Yeah, he's a shit. So yeah, Schoolboy went first. It was cool. Nas went second. He was like throwing beach balls around, which was great. It was a fucking great show. And then right after that, Flying Lotus started going, and then I started seeing some helicopters all over the place.
Man.
Like people started leaving slowly. So like once it got to the point where there were like 30 people in the same row as me, I'm like, all right, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it
then,
was whatever that was, you know, it's some big gang. You don't just pull up on Red Rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah. It's some gang.
It's one way in and one way out.
That'd be the like, worst fucking place to like shoot someone.
Yeah.
Too.
And they didn't
you have
kid.
One way that you can leave. And you're in the middle of the mountains. Like, unless you're going to camp out, you know?
That's what it was.
It's weird. That's like why it's a weird, I don't know.
Well, it was gang related, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it had. And that's like an actual like gang hit. Like, yeah. You know, they knew they're in and mm-hmm. out mm-hmm. and.
No, because you saw the pic. Did you see the pictures of Schoolboy after that?
That yeah. was my favorite
yeah,
part.
Yeah, just chilling in his car with yeah, the yeah. cop. Yeah, yeah. The cop is just like taking him to his car, and they were like an unidentified man. In this photo, I'm like, bro, that's Schoolboy Q.
That's Schoolboy Q, platinum selling rapper.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, nah, that show was fucking amazing because he didn't do. I really wanted to see some Hip Hop Is Dead, but I understood it's an Illmatic show.
I saw him at Red Rocks one time open with Hip Hop, the song Hip Hop Is Dead
yeah.
with a live band. Uh-huh. And he rolled out and he was like, Denver, look at these rocks. I was like, Hip Hop should die before I wait.
Yeah, I don't remember if he said anything much. Flying Lotus, he was like talking a lot of shit. He was like, yo, you guys are fucking terrible because I don't think he knew what was happening either.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I'm headlining for Nas. And I was like, it was fucking crazy. Yeah.
Fly low.
what song are we on? We're on
One Love.
One Love. This song is depressing as shit.
I love One
it
Love.
It is.
Yeah.
Very creative though. I mean, it mm-hmm. was. It wasn't just a traditional.
Love
you know,
song.
Eminem gets a lot of credit for the Stand, but mm-hmm. this was actually kind of the first.
Yeah.
Is this Q-Tip too?
Yeah, this is Q-Tip.
Q-Tip
yeah.
on the chorus. Q-Tip on the beat.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
One Love.
His voice is higher than mine, I think.
Q-Tip.
Yeah.
One Love.
I think it might be.
I think it's more nasally. I don't know if it's higher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
We should do a comparison.
I kind yeah.
of want to. But do it at the beginning of the podcast. Just run their voices.
Yeah.
No, this is, I mean, this song is depressing. I mean his buddy's in jail.
Yeah. It's written like a letter almost, I feel like.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's straight up a letter for his friend in prison.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's long. I don't know. I don't have much. This is like.
I actually skipped the song.
Me too. But I also skip long narrative songs on albums.
Really?
Yeah, for the most part, if I'm like going straight through or if I'm just, because I need to be in the mood for it.
Oh,
like this song, I really need to be in the mood for. Like yeah. I can't.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
Yeah, I can't be like driving around and then. Yeah, it's just too depressing for me.
Yeah. What do you guys? Do you
maybe,
guys like it?
I think my sad boy is just showing because I love One Love.
Yeah.
Like I was listening to it on the way here. But again, that just might be my half-white part coming out, my love for sad music. So.
Yeah, I guess. If there's nothing else we could say, we could say this next song. This is my least favorite song in the whole album.
What?
What?
Yeah, I never liked this
delete
song.
Delete your account.
This is one of the most quintessential.
I've never liked it.
One what? Time for your mind, one time. That is yeah. so hip-hop.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I just don't. I'd never like this beat. I like the bass line. I like Nas's rhymes, but
who produced it? I hope it was fucking. Produced
I think it was
by
Large
Robert
Professor,
Glasper. Large
or Little Professor, as yeah, I've dubbed him.
Yeah, Large yeah. Professor getting God.
Yeah, someone I really like. No, but yeah, this is the only song I don't like on this album.
Hey, yo,
you
Nas.
Don't have any other reasoning than just not liking it?
Yeah, that's it. It's not a bad song. It's actually a really good song. I just don't like it.
I just don't like it.
I just think this and the next one back to back, it's so fucking rap.
Man. I love Represent.
Yeah, it's so rap.
Yeah, I love Represent, just not that one.
When you said you didn't like a song, we were already like two songs deep. So, and this is like such a great album that I'm like, which song doesn't he like? I did not think it would be this.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't predict that.
Professor. Yeah, this is Large Professor as well.
Yeah. I didn't predict that, man. I thought you'd be on my side for Memory Lane.
No, Memory Lane is my shit. I love that record.
Memory Lane's great.
Yeah. No, I love every single song. Even this morning when I went through the album again, and like I was just going through it, and I sat through this song like three times. Wow. And I was like, wow, I just don't like this. I wish I had an articulate reason. It's not a bad song. Like structurally, everything is fine.
You just don't listen. I guess
I can't argue with that.
Yeah, I think it's just slow. It's kind of.
One time.
But it's so quintessentially.
The audience members right now can't see the shock on the face of everybody.
It's like on everything, man.
Yeah, you got Grand Wizard on the hook.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. I wish the end of it was like, and Ethiopia is the greatest place ever. And then you would have to like.
Shout out to Nalawi. No one will know what this means for 20 years.
I won't mispronounce. What's the word that Kendrick mispronounces?
Oh, Negus.
I wish it was pronounced correctly on this album. So then you would have to.
That's so funny.
I mean, there's not a lot to say on the song because it's very, it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next song is my favorite.
Yeah, this song
Represent.
Is great.
Represent.
Yes.
Represent.
Yeah.
That's another one to walk out to.
Yeah, I know. Yes.
That is another one to walk out to. It's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, reviewing classic material, we're not going to sit here and. But I think the last song is a good one.
That's
to
what
talk
I was
about.
Waiting for.
It ain't hard to tell. This is my second favorite.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. I love this beat.
It's so
the
good.
It's the best beat on the album.
Yeah, yeah.
Who did this beat?
Pete Rock, it has to be.
You think
that
so?
Sound?
Yeah.
I feel like that's Pete Rock.
That whole thing?
Yeah.
Why I think the song's important, I mean, obviously the album's important, it's the last song on the album, and it's actually kind of an entryway to who we would see Nas become post-Illmatic.
What do you mean by that?
He seems the little more grown Nas, the how he was after the album, I think.
This is Large Professor.
Slash Professor?
So he's got three beats on the album.
Yeah.
I just think this song's kind of an indication of where he was going after Illmatic. I think it fits in with the discography after this.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
I was about to say, I like the way this album ends because it's, what's the word I'm looking for? It's positive, but it's not like overly positive.
Right. It's subtle.
Like it's like, oh, I'm still gonna live with my mom after this record's over.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why.
Because he's 19.
Well, he was also broke. That was another thing.
Yeah. He was broke for a long time.
Yeah, that's another thing. Maybe that's why the documentary ended where it did.
Yeah,
because it was like, yeah, this shit wasn't cool until like another 5 years.
Well, that's the thing, is it kind of got, as far as I remember, obviously in New York, it was probably everything. It got Five Mics and the Source back when that was, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you could get Five Mics and the Source, that was.
Yeah.
I mean, that was everything. Mm-hmm. And this kind of became, even though there was albums that got Five Mics before, this kind of became the Five Mic album.
Yeah.
Like, this is the album that, if you want a Five Mics, this is, they didn't, not America's Most Wanted, not De La Soul is Dead. It was this one.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because this album sold like shit.
Yeah, it sold awful, man.
Yeah, it was like 5 years until it went gold, not even platinum. And this is like when the only way to buy music is CDs.
Yeah. It sold like 60,000 units the first week. I remember reading somewhere that it only sold. It surprised me when I read that. But critically, people were on board.
Yeah, but I kind of get it, though. I get why it didn't sell.
Well, it didn't have Big Papa.
Yeah.
It didn't have that, like,
didn't have
everybody
Dre
could
Day.
See it. And at the time, it was the antithesis to the West Coast in its own real quiet way.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't, it wasn't in your face.
Yeah.
The beats weren't, like, I mean, Who Am I, What's My Name comes on, and everybody's like, ah!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This comes on, and everybody's like, oh, fuck yeah.
Like, you would have to be in, like, in my opinion, like, if this played at a party, you would have to be at, like, a pretty cool party.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone's down with it. But, like, you hear Doggy Style, anyone can listen to Doggy Style at any time.
That's true. It's not very pop, because I think that's where, like, the specificity of it comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could see it not selling that well, because it's so specific.
Yeah.
The stuff he's talking about. Like, if I was in the middle of the country and listened to this when it came out, I'd be like, where the fuck is Queens? I don't know any of these people on this thing. What?
I want to know who these characters are.
Yeah. Because there's so many people involved and events and it's just almost going on. Like, I need to, like, read up on this. I don't know, but, like, listen to Doggy Style, and you're like, yeah, I've done that before. I've done that. Awesome. Yay.
Like, he's a storytelling MC. That's him, man.
I know, and I love it for that. But
he's also low-key. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
He himself is very low-key. Mm-hmm. And that's always been kind of the, for lack of a better term, the charm of Nas, is he'll go away quietly, and then he'll just come back. Like when Life is Good was the last one, and it starts out with Large Professor.
Yeah.
And he goes in, and he can go back to this style anytime he wants. It's just we have the album. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to go back to
it. Yeah, exactly.
You're right. It is a personality thing. I mean, even when he met Kellis, he kept that on the low for... Like, apparently they just disappeared.
I mean, he did some dumb shit, though.
He did some awful shit. Are you kidding? Yeah. But in the beginning, when it was all hunky-dory.
Yeah, where he got her butt naked tattooed on his forearm. You remember that?
God.
Fuck yeah.
Kellis ordeal.
I think it's Kellis, not Kellis.
Kellis?
Yeah.
Kellis.
Well,
she needs to be more interesting. Okay, it's Kellis, whatever.
She's amazing. She owns a barbecue.
How do you know that?
I know too much about weird parts of hip-hop. But she owns a barbecue van in Austin, Texas, and that's what she does now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She serves.
Okay,
she serves.
That's amazing.
Right?
Seriously?
Right? I'm not Google this. I'm not kidding.
Well,
she.
I need to go and eat that barbecue at some point.
Dude, I'm going to go to Austin, and the first thing I'm going to look for is her. I want barbecue.
Does she, like, really?
She cooks it all, man.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Amazing.
Is she from Austin?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's crazy.
Way more cool. Because I always just wondered what they talked about.
Yeah.
Like, to be a fly on the wall during their conversation.
I don't think they talk much.
This is how it went. She would say, I want to do this. And he would go, no. And she would go, why? And he'd go, because I made Illmatic. That's why.
Yeah.
She was rough on him, too, though. I guess she, like, kind of expected the money to just keep flowing.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say, another thing about Nas, he was never the sexy guy, and he never tried.
Yes,
it.
Yeah. Right.
Even when he did do, like, I don't know, like his more poppy shit.
Yeah.
He was still unapologetically not, like, you listen to the song Hero, even though you have Carrie Hilson on the hook and all that shit. He's still talking about, like, record labels and, like, you know, just like.
He actually
he
never.
Can't do it.
He didn't conform.
No.
I mean, like, even he had it was poppier. Nostradamus had the song with Genuine, but it had a nasty Nas to Esco. But on that song, the opening lines, he disses Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Like, he's still like.
There's never been a point. There's no Volume 2. You never have a Nigga What, Nigga Who, like a song like that. You never have a Big Pimpin'.
He didn't.
Which I love those songs by Jay-Z.
Yeah.
I love Jay-Z.
I do too.
I fucking hate that video. Because
why? It's a girl in a bikini and a fur coat. When would you ever need that combination?
That's a pretty strong point.
When you didn't check the weather, but you're going to the pool.
I hate that video because, like, even though that video came, because, like, usually when you watch older rap videos, you kind of like you watch a scenario remix and you're like, oh, this is what they thought high tech was with all the screens and stuff like that. But I watched that video, I'm like, oh, I'm still broke.
Yeah.
I'm still poor as fuck.
Yeah. Like a Nas, even Nas, like when he was putting out "Hate Me Now," the lead single, you're like, "Oh, Puff's on it."
Yeah.
No, the song you can hit, you bitch ass. Like it's just like, and then Puff beat the fuck out of somebody at the video shoot. It's like he took a bottle to somebody's head. It's like,
oh
God.
My God.
Like Nas is, he's never actually conformed.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's always just, I mean, the Stillmatic lead single, "Got Yourself a Gun."
Yeah.
Made you look. He's talking about burners on every fucking single.
And then he also has songs like "I Can."
Yeah,
that was on Godson.
Godson, which was like authentic.
Yeah,
I love "I
Can." Well, that's is it the second verse where it's like, "Yo, kids, learn how to read."
Yeah,
that's.
So when I saw him, the best Summer Jam 107.5 ever put on.
Uh-huh.
It was headlined by Nas and West Side Connection.
Oh,
that was the fucking headliners. Nas comes out in a John Elway jersey coat and he goes, "What's up, Denver? Y'all like my coat? Hate Me Now comes in." But then he changed the lyrics on "I Can." He's like, "You could be like something about pedophiles." He's like R. Kelly. I was like, "Oh my God." But yeah, like he's at this Summer Jam in Denver, Colorado, and he's like, "Oh, fuck R. Kelly."
God damn. Wow, Frick, I just lost the point. Damn.
But I think it's Jay-Z, Nas, and Eminem.
Yep.
I think those are the three, simply because if you have to make the argument, I think they make it the easiest.
But oh, you mean like best alive or best ever?
Best ever. I think the album's easiest on
I don't
him.
Know if I could put M on that list.
Yeah, me neither.
I think the second half of his discography fucked him up.
No, well, like, we won't dive into that today. we'll go at it. I still think.
What you're saying,
though. Yeah, I think.
All three of those people, I feel like that's really dense bars-wise.
Yeah.
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 Yeah,
I think they can all rap. They all have three legs to their career.
Yeah. That is true.
Yeah, like yeah, just, with the bars that they rap.
Where I like just dense, like, yeah, actual like storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, well, I will give you that as far as longevity is concerned.
Maintain. Well, and he also had the Damian Marley album.
Yeah,
Busted, which is kind of flown under the radar.
It's really good.
It's fucking good.
Yeah. Well, because he originally was on that Welcome to Jamrock album, and he was on
Welcome to Jamrock.
Yeah, yeah. He has the song Road to Zion.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Nas has never been too cool for the new generation either. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'll get on Khaled's fucking album.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to do him.
Yeah.
But
even the song like with Travis Scott, is being like relentlessly Travis Scott. Yeah.
Aggressively Travis Scott. Scott. Yeah.
And
for
Nas
sure.
is just, although that first one, Nas album done, that first track with the Lauryn Hill sample, that shit is so fucking good.
It's so good. And it's also funny how Nas just made DJ Khaled. DJ Khaled's like, yo, I got Nas album done. That song's like 3 years old. There has not been a new Nas album.
Yeah. This is a true story. I walked down the street one time in New York City and saw DJ Khaled just walking down with some camera crews around him. And I was on the phone with my friend and I didn't get off my phone. I was like, I think that's DJ Khaled. So anyways, like that is how little, I guess, I think of DJ Khaled. But what I was gonna say is, you've seen like interviews with Nas, right? When he's just talking. Maybe I'm the only one who thinks this, but like whenever I listen to him, I feel like I'm listening to The Wire. Like someone's just like, if he would just start talking,
that's
and like
funny.
Had that, you know what I mean? Like he's just a character, like that
he does kind of have that whole like, I'm not going to incriminate myself attitude the whole time he's in an interview.
And it's the way he talks, like he is unapologetic, like you were saying, he's unapologetically him. And what is him? It's Queensland, man.
Yeah.
And he talks just like to me, like just one of those, like those characters from The Wire. Like there's a way there's a verbiage that he uses to and sticks to, and it's that same sort of depth through simplicity. So I don't know if anyone else notices.
He's just this guy that he always has carried himself like he knows something. Mm-hmm. No, like that situation with Tupac is interesting. When his dudes were gonna smash
when
Tupac,
people were gonna step up to him,
and Nas just waved him off,
yeah,
and was like no, and everybody was like, oh, he didn't take it from Tupac. But I always took it like he backed down. I always took it like he was just like,
you saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah, he saw something else. He's like, these guys are headed in a bad direction. Mm-hmm. We don't need to throw any gas on this.
Mm-hmm.
And he just walked away.
Yeah.
And
his situation was real peculiar because with the Tupac thing, it's not as Jay-Z makes sense because he has association with Biggie. Biggie makes sense because he thought, you know, the whole record studio thing. Nas is just kind of out there.
Like, he's just an East Coast dude.
Yeah, he's just a dude from the East Coast.
And the other thing is Biggie was dissing Nas.
Yeah.
So was Tupac.
Kicking the door was for Nas.
Yeah.
And like, so I don't know. Nas might have said something somewhere, but by the end, Tupac hated the Fugees. He hated De La Soul.
Yeah, yeah.
He hated Snoop.
Yep.
He hated fucking.
Yeah.
I
should have sent you to this, but there's like this really good liner notes. I sent you.
Have you guys seen this?
Yeah.
It was released this week. The original liner votes to the Machiavelli album.
What?
Yeah. And he.
Yeah, there's
it's
one
fucking crazy.
It's like, thank you for Dr. Dre for being a secret homo.
Oh my god!
Like again, I always say this. What a weird thing to thank somebody. He's like Mobb Deep, no selling bum ass. I mean, he goes, he goes off. So here's a question we'll pose: Illmatic, top 10, top 5, number 1,
top 3,
top 10,
top 10.
Yeah.
It's like my favorite.
That's your favorite.
Yeah, it is my favorite. But I don't know. I don't like speaking in superlatives.
Yeah.
I mean,
in general, because I feel like it's its own thing.
It's literally what we listen. I mean, Nalawi was saying it at the beginning. That's what I listen to when I listen to hip hop. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many lines. There's so many Nas lines. I've heard Lil Wayne spit just over again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
My take on it is, you don't have to think it's the greatest album of all time, but if somebody tells you they think it is, I don't think you should argue with them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Like, if aliens came down to planet Earth and they wanted to know, hey, what is this hip hop thing we've heard so much
what
about?
What a cool thing to come to Earth for.
Yeah. 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 Putting that aside, I would hand them over Illmatic. I'd be like, this is hip hop.
Nah, I'd hand them Chronic, Doggy Style.
The Chronic's the album I have ahead of this.
Yeah, yeah.
The Chronic and Doggy Style.
Yeah.
That's what I have.
That's
ahead
my
of this.
Thing. There's so much West Coast shit. Even East Coast stuff. I like Tribe Called Quest way more.
Yeah.
I would put Midnight Marauders and Low End Theory over this.
Low End
really?
Theory?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I love those two records, yeah.
I would, okay. I think Midnight Marauders is the vastly superior
yes.
of those two albums.
Yep, yep, yep.
Which I might be on my own with that, I don't know.
No, a lot no, of people I agree with you. Popular, yeah.
I think they're just a shitload better on Midnight Marauders. So really, you would put Two Tribes, you would mm-hmm. probably, knowing you, put Ready to Die.
Yep, I put Ready yeah, to Die. So. Like, for me, this is like 10.
Yeah, the weird one is when Nalawi texts me 21 Savage better than Illmatic. No, he doesn't text me that.
Okay,
on a previous podcast, we were talking about The Blueprint, and Nalawi meant to say he thought The Takeover was better than Ether. And he said, I think The Takeover is better than Illmatic.
Yeah, because I'm like so used to shitting on Illmatic on the internet to make people mad. But no, it's like top 10, but it's not.
Yeah,
it would be like 10 or 9.
Like, I'm weird where I'm like, I don't want to be like, oh, this is the best of all time. Mm-hmm. Let's just have one thing. You know, it's like, that's so weird to define something as just one.
Because
like I was saying, I listen to it like seasonally. Like this feels like winter to me. Like some of it I can listen to summer, but it's like my favorite album.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for sure.
It's your favorite. There you go. It's your favorite. I think because we do in hip hop. I think the reason it's debated so much is they themselves created this competition.
Yes.
Yeah.
They made it competitive, and it's unfortunately there's no Super Bowl.
Yeah.
There's no way to actually crown the champion. That's why the King of New York title is so big. That's why Jay-Z and Nas is a beef I can get on board with, because it wasn't about person. It was about no, I'm the illest.
Well,
I'm the best.
Once they made it too personal, that's when everyone was like,
everybody checked out.
Yeah.
And then they both were kind of like, I probably shouldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
When Nas like lynched Jay-Z at Summer Jam, I think it was like everybody was like, oh, okay, all right.
I've always had that beef ending with the whole like talking about his baby, talking about the condoms in the backseat, fucking the girl and his kids on Super Ugly.
Yeah,
Super Ugly fucked that beef up.
Super Ugly fucked it up because it was so weak.
Yeah.
And Nas was like, I'm not,
yeah,
I don't need to, that was fucking whack. I just didn't go listen to Ether, stupid. Yeah. But yeah, Nas went off on
Jay-Z
him.
Albums I put it, dude, it might not even make my top 10.
What Jay-Z album is better than Illmatic?
Yeah,
I would say
Entertain Me Please.
Blueprint.
Oh god, all right,
better than Illmatic,
maybe.
I think
maybe
no, here's, but Jay-Z took a Nas line, put it in his chorus. Jay-Z took New York State of Mind,
one classic,
and named it Empire State of Mind.
Yeah, yeah, one classic album every 10-year average. Remember that?
Yeah, that was, yeah, but I mean, okay, Jay, let's go down your last 10-year discography.
Yeah,
yeah.
444.
What, from 08? You had American Gangster.
That's what I was talking
about. So two albums. So he's twice as
good. Yeah, but I mean, nobody's role. Okay, American Gangster versus Nas, what's the second one? Illmatic, it was written.
Uh-huh.
It was written's the better album between that and American Gangster.
But no one's going to compare It Was Written in American Gangster.
That's our next episode.
Like those albums are so different.
Just compare.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But no. It Was Written is the second album. So it would only be fair to compare it to, like, I don't know.
To Jay-Z's second album? You want to do that?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, but Jay-Z has a different career trajectory.
Yeah.
Like, you have Reasonable Doubt, which is really, really good, but I wouldn't say it's a classic.
No, it's not.
No.
It's an overrated album, in my opinion. As a Jay-Z fan.
I think people wanted it to be that whole, like, no, like Hard Knock Life, no, listen to this.
Yeah,
I think
listen it to Dead Presidents
like, yeah,
3. Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I think it took on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I think pretty much, I think it's like kind of like Volume 2, that's when his career like really started picking up.
Blueprint.
Most people think, I literally had somebody one time say, like on Facebook, they said, best Jay-Z album of all time. Somebody literally wrote his first album, Volume 2.
Yeah.
The shit, it's called Volume 2. Meaning not the first.
It's in the name.
Yeah.
It's so
you
funny.
Wrote it down.
Have your first album be like something Volume 2.
Volume 2.
Be like, why have we not heard of this?
If I did a comedy album, I would do that. I'd just Basil Volume 2. Here's the thing, though. Here's why, for me, it is top 3. It is genre defining. Like you were talking about this earlier, man.
Oh, if you're talking like innovative albums, yeah. This is like number 1. But I'm just saying my personal taste.
Right. Oh, yeah, personal taste. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's still, it's probably top 10 for me too, actually. Yeah.
If it's, I think it fucked his, number one. There you go. What you had, did you have something?
No, I just think it's like here's the difficult thing. Cause you guys were talking, I remember I was listening to your podcast about To Pimp a Butterfly, and you were talking about how like,
oh, that's an album I like better than this.
Wait, yeah. Wait.
You were talking, we're going to fight afterwards. It's hard to compare. I think you were the one who said this. They're two different things. They're two very different things. Mm-hmm. It's like a time capsule of the 90s, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can't really appreciate. There's a element that you can't really appreciate unless you were there. I mean, I was born in 90, man. So I wasn't there for that. But from what I've heard from my dad and from other people, is that album was all they talked about for months.
Yeah, it was from the East Coast perspective. I think within a 12-month period, you got Midnight Marauders, 36 Chambers, Ready to Die, and Illmatic.
Yeah.
I think those all came out within a 12-month. Mm-hmm. Midnight Marauders and 36 Chambers, I think, were like 2 weeks.
Yeah. I thought they weren't same day.
No. Okay, Midnight Marauders and Doggy Style.
Those were same day.
Were the same day. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about going, I'm going to go pick up the new Tribe and the new student. Being like, holy shit.
Yeah, no, yesterday I was freaking out because we got Saba and then we got, what's her name?
Exactly.
Cardi B.
Cardi B, yeah.
But this isn't the same thing.
Yep.
The one thing I'll say about Illmatic that's really kind of fucked things up is... It's almost made people not acknowledge good Nas albums post Illmatic.
Yes.
Hip Hop Is Dead is outstanding. Mm-hmm. Stillmatic is really fucking good. Yeah. Even the follow up It Was Written.
A lot of people
is I like good. It was
that's
written.
A really good album.
Well, actually, you know Michi Darko from Flatbush.
Like,
he specifically says It Was Written was a better album.
That's a thing online.
Which I'm not gonna. I like it, but I don't like it that much.
Crooked Eye tweeted that, and I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
this is
that's being contrarian, to be contrarian.
Yeah.
But I feel like his publicist was probably like, you need to see something to just get you trending.
Do you think does Flatbush have publicist? I don't know.
That's just
because I'm still in Brooklyn. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think the last one, Life Is Good. I thought that was a great fucking album.
Life Is Good is good.
That album was like half good.
Did you listen to the bonus track version?
No.
The bonus track version gets it long. Some people didn't like it, and I think they were listening.
Oh.
I like the Amy Winehouse song.
Is that Cherry Wine?
Yeah.
I didn't. I like that too.
I thought it was pretty cool, but I love Daughters. That song is fucking incredible.
Yeah.
That song is really good. I like it when rappers sound like 40, 50-year-old men.
Yeah, they tried to do a remix with Jay-Z and Eminem.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
That would have been great.
Jay couldn't do it, and M was like, I've talked about my daughter a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they talked to John Mayer, and that didn't work.
So then, they talked to John Mayer, and then they got Bob Saget on
Right. Daughters be good to your children. No one.
But, Illmatic's a hard one to review. Classics are hard to review, but it's short. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my favorite thing is just looking at what happens afterwards, man. The fact that I didn't know I didn't know that Wayne was spitting lines that were originally Nas's until after listening. I listened to the Carter 3 first, and then I listened to Illmatic, and then this like light bulb clicked in my mind where I'm just like, oh, this is where it's all coming from. This is the
Carter
source.
3 is a great album.
It's a great record. Yeah.
It's a great fucking album.
Yeah.
What's the first line is like about like get your motherfucked. What was it?
The opening lines of the Carter 3 are I might go Mark Stroh, the boom crazy on these I don't give a motherfuck. Run up in his house and shoot his grandmother up. What? And he's like, get your baby kidnapped and your baby motherfucked. It's like
dang,
so good. Yeah. We should review the anniversary's June.
Oh, is
it'll be 10 years.
Oh,
Carter 3, 10 years.
Yeah.
So man, that was slamming on every block when it came out.
It was. It was the first we'll save it. We'll save it.
Sorry. Yeah, we'll just save it. We'll save it. All right. All right. Do you guys have anything to promote? Anything you want to say?
Promote.
Woke up stand up May 18th, Mercury Cafe. I'm headlining.
All right, I will be on that show.
Yeah.
Awesome. John will be on the show. Yep.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm not doing anything.
All right. Sweet. Me either.
Nalawa, you got shows on top of shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. But whatever.
He's so Nas. He's so.
All right. Yeah. All right. We're done. Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.